This is the Louisiana Sugarcane News Podcast, brought to you by the American Sugarcane League. I'm your host, Sam Irwin. The Sugarcane News visited the Assumption Parish Sugarcane Field Day and recorded Dr. Al Ogeron, the LSU Ag Center, speaking about ripeners and how they work with sugarcane.
Sugarcane, sweet sugarcane, sweetness of our southern.
I don't know how big of an impact it's going to have on that stubble crop coming back, but as of right now, it looks really good. The other one we looked at was a 183. This is the variety that Michael's going to talk about in a little bit, this release. We're trying to get ahead, trying to look at new varieties. And it had about a 10.7% increase in TRS. So that shows us it has some potential. We're going to continue to look at some of these varieties. One of the other things I did this year after discussing this with Kenneth, we have a lot of people using ripener well beyond that first week of December. You know, the rule of thumb Dr. Ben always talked about is he said, you don't need ripener on cane after Thanksgiving. That's what he always taught me. Al, you just doesn't need it. You don't get a benefit. So in this case, we put it out in November 6th, harvested the cane 39 days later on December 15th. And we only had an 8-pound increase, but it was a significant increase. We want to repeat this again, but just doing a little math, 8 pounds on a 35-ton crop, that's about $70 more an acre. You know, that's significant. You know, the grower share is about half of that, but that's still a lot of dollars on a lot of tons of cane from December 1st all the way to December 25th. Hopefully we can get that crop in by that time. There's some things, just general things to remember. Really, the one thing I want to harp on, if that cane lodges this year, we want to give that cane 7 to 10 days to erect itself before we try to put out any product on it. We want to stay within our rate range, without a doubt. When we're looking at varieties, some varieties respond better than others. 540 has always been a typically very, very responsive variety for us. When we look at 299, I have it ranked as the category as good. Some people may disagree with it, and that's at 5.3 ounces of work. But I get about a 13% increase pretty consistently with that variety at 28 days at the beginning of the season. The ones I don't get a really good response with is 950 to 283 and the 613. But all three of those varieties are early maturing varieties. They reach their sugar naturally early, and you don't see nearly as big of a gain as you do with these other varieties. One caveat about the 804, talking with Doug at USDA, he's not getting the response that we've seen with 804. So we're going to look at it again this year. But like I said, in 2016, I had a 20% increase in TRS. Last year was a 23% increase on that variety. I feel like I can ripen that variety very effectively. One of the last things we're going to talk about is we looked at a new product from QLF. It's GrowRipe. It actually sat by a guy here at the meeting last year, and he was telling me to use this product in Brazil. When we opened it up, it smelled a whole lot like molasses. I'm not going to lie to you. It goes out at 41 ounces. So we went in and did our typical thing. At 28 days, we looked at it. At 42 days, we looked at it. And I called the guy back, and I sent him the data, and I said, you know, it doesn't even come close to where glyphosate increases TRS. And I said, you maybe have a little numerical bump when you're looking at it compared to the non-treated, but nothing significant. He said, oh, Al, we go almost 100 days in Brazil when we use this product. So we kept it all the way up to 96 days out and looked at it. And at 96 days out, we still didn't have a significant increase in TRS compared to the control. But the TRS of the glyphosate at 5.3 ounces was 266. Now, we cut plots there with the combine and weighed them. We significantly decreased cane tonnage at 11 weeks out with glyphosate. That's not a big shock. But what was so shocking is, let me back up one thing. One of the things we wanted to look at is if you have to leave glyphosate ripener on cane a long time, will it cause any deterioration and really induce dextrans at the mill? And the work that Ken did and the work at Alderman Sugars showed that there was no increase in dextrans. So that's one important thing. If you get into a wet situation where you can't get out, you're really not increasing dextran for the mill. The second thing is we went and looked at this cane this spring. I said, man, there are going to be huge differences leaving this material on for almost 100 days and not taking it off. Well, 299 looks like one of these forgiven canes because I could not tell. The shoot counts were exactly the same where we had glyphosate versus non-treated in 299 at 96 days, which is very encouraging to me. That variety, it looks like it can take some of the abuse that glyphosate ripener sometimes induces on the cane. In terms of modus, our recommendations are 11 to 19 ounces. This product's been highly variable, but glyphosate is not labeled on plant cane, so this may be a good alternative. I know Dr. Ryan Vietard has done some tank mixing studies where he's taken half a rate of glyphosate and 11 ounces of modus, and has gotten pretty good results with it. We hadn't looked at it at the station, but we hope to look at it in the upcoming future. So.
Dr. Michael Pontiff, a sugarcane plant breeder with the LSU Ag Center, talked about the release of the new sugarcane variety, L11-183. The variety is now available for commercial planting this year. Please contact the American Sugarcane League office at 985-448-3707 to place your order. The number again is 985-448-3707.
Sugarcane, sweet sugarcane.
Thank y'all. It's always good to come talk about a new variety. It seems like it's a bigger deal for us here in Louisiana because we were at the Florida meeting 2 weeks ago, and I thought I heard them say they released six varieties. So they roll them out a whole lot faster than we do. Up here you see me and Dr. Kim Ming is the head breeder, but it takes 12 years to get these varieties all the way through the program, and if I put everybody's name up there, I need four slides. It's a big group at the LSU Ag Center Research Station, USDA down in Houma. And the league, I mean, it takes a lot of people to get these varieties all the way through to be released to y'all to make sure they're worth releasing. So let me tell you about 183. So like I said, it takes 12 years. This cross was made in 2006 by Chris Laborde, who we saw over in Florida. This is his second to last crossing that he made before he left to go work over in Florida. So that gives you an idea of how many, such a long process. It was assigned in 2011. 5 years into the program is when they get their permanent assignment number, so hence 2011-183. Some people are saying, oh man, we're going to have 183 and 283 out there, but there's a pretty distinct difference between how they look and everything, so you'll be able to tell. We'll get to that in a minute. It was introduced in 2013 to the outfield locations, and most of you know the program. You've heard me talk about it before. 12 outfield locations, 6 heavy, 6 light soils. We have these varieties where we introduce them around the test first to make sure before we put them into the test that they're worth putting into the test and worth testing those last 4 years of the program because those are larger tests, 50-foot plots, 2 rows, replicated 3 times. So it's a lot of work to move this cane around. So we have a pretty good indication when they get to this point that they're going to be worth harvesting. Moving on down the line, it was released May 10th at the league office. All three members entities come together, we discuss the variety, make a vote, and I can tell you that this meeting, I've been working 11 years, and this meeting was probably the smoothest meeting that we've attended as far as releasing a variety. The data was presented, it was talked about, I think we finished in under an hour, so this it just goes to show this, I think this is a pretty good variety we're getting out there. And one other thing I'll tell you about this chart, you see in 2008 it was selected in the stubble seedlings. So 2008 we had a hurricane, Hurricane Gustav. Hurricane Gustav came through September 1st, knocked everything down in our stubble seedlings a week before we were going to harvest them. So what we have to do in that case, instead of our usual way of walking down the middle of the row, looking at the families and checking them, taking two stalks out, we had to peel away with the combine and we walk up to it. So this was found by peeling away, walking up to it, taking it out and moving it on in the program. So surprise, surprise, parent, LCP 85384, and you see 92624. During this time, these two actually made about 11 assignments, I think, that year. So these two really did well, and 183 came out of it. But I think that assignment year, you know, they pushed a lot of material. 384 still pushes a lot of material on the program. We've decreased the number of stalks we have of 384 to get new material on the carts. But you know, it keeps coming through even to, you know, even to this day. And 92624 is a parent that we use, has a little bit of rust on it in the breeding nursery, but it pushes a lot of material too. So here it is, the two parents, 92624, 384. And here we have, this was a few weeks ago before I went to the Florida meeting. Now it's a lot taller. On our field day next week, this is going to be planted right outside with the other commercial varieties and some of the newer ones that we hope we're going to be released in the next couple of years. So you can walk right up to it and see it, how it looks. This is plant cane. It looks really good in plant cane crop. So here's a data sheet. I talked about the meeting. We go to these meetings. We have the summary of data. You can't really read the numbers. I'll just point out a few. You see under the first column over there, the number is 265 observations. So we took this back to the lab and ran these bundles 265 times to get this information about 183. So quite a lot of work. This is a big packet of data. We go over this, you know, time and time again and flesh out these varieties along with, you know, observation in the field. It gives us sugar per acre, TRS, tonnage, fiber, stalk weight, population. And there's another shot of it when it was a little bit younger. So like I referred to earlier, the outfield testing, the last 4 years of the program, really important data coming out of the outfield. You really see, you know, if the really good ones shine through. Harvested with the weigh wagon, 3.5-ton weigh wagon. We weigh these plots. Usually USDA meets with USDA and LSU. We get out there and we weigh all these plots and take the sample back. So let's talk about a little bit how it looks data-wise. So here you see, this is outfield plant cane, 2015, 2016, 2017, all 3 years. You see 183 at the top. And for this particular slide, everything is compared to 183. So you see that 9606 for sugar per acre, 32 tons, 33 tons, with a 295 TRS. Really the only thing higher in TRS is, of course, 950, which is still the sweetest variety out there. And everything else, you know, it's looking real, real good in plant cane. We compare everything now in our data, and I think Mariah handed out the data sheet to 299. You see 299 on here. It's beating 299 in plant cane, which, you know, not surprising, 299 starts off a little slow and starts to make its crop in the first and the second stubble. So there you see the plant cane numbers for 183. Moving on, this is first stubble. So this is 2016, 2017, all those outfield tests I was talking about. You see 183 at the top in red, 8742, 28 tons, 309 TR. So it, you know, it drops off a little bit, but still looking good in the first stubble over these trials. You can see TRS hanging in there with 226, 950, 283. We'll get to it later, but it's not quite an early maturing. It's kind of mid-maturing variety. So moving on, second stubble. Okay, so it drops off a little bit in the second stubble. This is going to be where it kind of 299 starts making ground. You see those pluses on 299 with 8658, almost 30 tons. It's hard to beat 299 in stubble. Right now, I can tell you, we were over at Westfield this morning. We were counting and observing. We have plant cane through third stubble at the Westfield mill. We get to the second and third stubble tests. When you get in the front of our test and you see, you look down the row and we have two plots, two reps, you can see 283 and 299 in stubbles because they're bigger and they're thicker than everything in there. So it's hard to beat 299 and 283 in stubble crops. But 183, really good in plant cane, first stubble, tends to drop off a little bit in the second stubble. So what about disease packets? So as far as leaf scald, brown rust, and smut, we haven't seen any leaf scald in it. Brown rust, it could be a possibility because of 384, of course, and 92624 both had some rust in it. So we're looking at, we haven't seen it in there yet, but as the acres build up, we'll see if the rust starts to creep in on it. And smut, we haven't seen any smut in it either, so that's good. The thing that We had a lot of discussion about, as we did with 09804, was Mosaic. The last few years, we've been seeing a little bit more Mosaic creep back into the program a little bit. And we've gone to some extreme measures. Dr. Always talked before about walking and looking acres and acres, and Herman and them look a lot of acres of cane, because we don't want Mosaic to creep back in. So 183 had a little bit Mosaic. We check all these tests. We check them very well. That was part of the discussion. But at that time, it was determined it wasn't enough to really hurt 183. We're keeping a watch on it and just make sure. Dr. Hoy always preaches, as we do, clean seed is your best bet. You always start off with clean seed in the beginning. So we're keeping an eye out for Mosaic, and as it blows up, we'll keep an eye out in 183 and see if Mosaic creeps back into it. The borers right now, it's not on enough acres. I would say I've seen a couple borers, but not a high. Nothing that you would have to spray for at this time in 183. Usually when we're walking around and we see borers, the first thing we think if we see a plot full of borers is, hey, it must be sweet, because the borers it's got the sugarcane borer in it. But this one right now, I'd say, is a little moderately resistant to borers. And here's the summary. So just what I was talking about, it's going to be a pretty good harvesting cane. It's pretty erect. The plant cane's beautiful, like I said. You'll see it next week if we don't get anything that comes through between now and then. Storm blows everything down. Everything's straight right now. Maturity, kind of a mid-maturing, not an early maturing variety. Al comment about the ripener. It looks like ripener is going to be one of those where you can put ripener on it. Borers, like I said, moderately susceptible. We're not sure. We'll see as it blows up. Smut, leaf scald, rust. Resistant on smut and leaf scald. The rust, like I said, we're going to watch for that. It's a good shader. It's not like a 226. It has a leaf kind of like 299, kind of a rolling top leaf. It looks similar to that. And then retuning, we're going to put it as very good, not very good, like 299, 283, but I think it's going to be better than 540, so somewhere in there as far as retuning ability. So just some keys, like I said, erect, better stubbler than 540, matures a little later in the season. The stalk ranges from about 2.5 in the plant cane, and then in the stubbles drops about 1.6, 1.8, so it's a good-sized stalk, about the same as 299. And resistance to smut and leaf scald, but watch out for the rust and the mosaic. So this is what it looks like. This was probably a couple weeks ago here at the station. And then I think Dr. Kenneth talked earlier about this, the survey. You see 299 with 45% of the acreage, and then you see 540 on here at 24. So I'm thinking, I don't know if Dr. Kenneth said this, 299 is probably going to creep up a little higher, 540 is going to creep down, so you're going to have a place where you could maybe try some 183 out there and see how it does for you. Might take some of the makers at 540, starts decreasing. And as far as seed availability, I see Herman sitting over here. Herman, we're good for seed everywhere. If you want to get a seed from the league, it's going to be available from the league. And another thing Mariah handed out before I finish up. Go ahead, Herman.
The July issue of the bulletin just went out. Seed came applications
in July issue of the bulletin. And I think Mariah handed this out. This is the outfield. If you come to our field day next week, you'll see the outfield results. And I don't want to jinx anything. I'm not going to go into all the numbers. But if you look at the plant cane and the first double crops in this sheet, everything's compared to 299. Like I said, you see a lot of pluses is what you want to see. So we got 11183 coming out this year, and we got some possibles for next year. We have 12201 as an L variety, and then you got 615 and 630 from USDA. And as you look down that list, you see 513s on there, and I can tell you that we got some 14s and some 15s. So the breeding program is kind of like a roller coaster ride. We go down and up. I think we're on an upswing right now, so we might have some varieties over the next few years to choose from. I think there's 8 on this sheet right here. If you flip to the other side, you see five beginning with 540 all the way to the right, you see 183. I think in the next few years, this might be two sheets. We might have maybe 12 to choose from. I don't know if it's bad to have too many to choose from, because you can't make a decision, but as long as they're coming through the program and they're beating the commercial checks out there, we're going to keep kicking them out as best we can. And with that, I'll take any questions. Like I said, it's a big, long process, and it takes all these entities to crank out new varieties. Any questions from anybody about 183? The field day's next week, so you get a close look at it and a little bit more information, and you can see if you want to bring it to your farm plan. Gene, thank you.
This is Sam Irwin of Louisiana Sugarcane News Podcast. Photographs of the Assumption Parish Sugarcane Field Day are available at www.lacane.smugmug.com. That's www.lacane.smugmug.com.
Sugar cane, sweet sugar cane, sweetness of our southern trees. Sugar cane, sweet sugar cane, fireflies in the jasmine city breeze. There's a little shade beneath this tree, shields me from relentless heat. An afternoon shower possibly, but then the temperatures increase. The men are working in the fields, and trucks are loaded with that amazing tree. Sugar cane, sweet sugar cane, the sweetness of our southern dreams. Sugar cane. Jasmine City.